live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 22nd day of October 2025. And I am thrilled to have a first-time guest with me today. His name is Travis Peterson, pastor of Providence Reformed Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he is going to be addressing today his story of being a physically blind pastor and his mission to bring the true sight of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the spiritually blind citizens of Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Travis Peterson.
Thanks for welcoming me. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, first of all, give us a brief description of Providence Reformed Church of Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right. Well, Providence is a church that began here in Vegas about 13 years ago. I came on staff and became their first full-time pastor in 2015. So 10 years I've been here. And it's a church that has gone from meeting in some homes and living rooms and schools, meeting in a couple of middle schools. During COVID, we met in the YMCA, which was a neat experience for everybody. And we recently actually just moved to a new location in the northwest part of Vegas. Providence is a church of, around 100-ish people on a Sunday morning. Not that the numbers matter, but that gives you a little bit of a picture. We are a Reformed Baptist church, so we love the Word of God. We preach expositional sermons, almost always verse by verse through books. Every once in a while, we'll address a topic that needs to be addressed, but mostly it is verse by verse. We're currently working through Romans right now, which is a joy. Our musical style is something that you would say is a good blend of traditional and maybe some modern hymnody. We're actually using the new Sing hymnal right now to sing in our church, which is great. And it's just a sweet church. I often say to our people that I want Providence to be the sweetest and most gracious Reformed church that anyone's ever found. And there's a lot of ways which I think that's true for us. They're just sweethearted people. They love the Lord, love the Word, love each other, share the gospel with friends and neighbors. And so it's a great spot to serve.
Amen. Well, if anybody in our listening audience today happens to be from the Las Vegas, Nevada area, or if you know you're going on vacation in that area or have family, friends, and loved ones who live in that area, you could visit their website, Providence Reformed Church LV for Las Vegas, .org. Providence Reformed Church LV, .org. And we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Travis. Whenever we have a first-time guest such as yourself, we have that guest provide for our listeners a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, and also the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And we would love to hear your story.
That sounds great. So I grew up as the youngest in a family of three boys, mom and dad, three boys, growing up in the Midwest. We grew up in the very southern tip of the state of Illinois, actually, which is a pretty rural area. We lived 2 miles outside of a 900-person town. So none of my Vegas friends can imagine this at all, by the way. And growing up, mom and dad didn't go to church. Grandparents did, went to the local Southern Baptist church, and it was your everything you expect to have in a small town First Baptist church kind of environment. A lot of go to church, a lot of evangelistic sermons, go to Sunday school. I would go with grandparents when I wanted to. I would not go when I didn't feel like it. So you'd go through seasons of getting a little Bible stories here and there, but not really a whole lot of spiritual depth, not really a whole lot of even understanding what was meant. Obviously, there was always an invitation at the end of every service, and there was always a come and accept Jesus, and I had no idea what that meant as a child. But, you know, I paid attention, I would say, is true. Two major events that I think have an impact on my own coming to faith. One of them would be, gosh, I don't know, I would have been in middle school at the time, and it was an evening spent actually at a great grandmother's home, and there was some television program on with some sort of Jesus movie. I don't even know which one it was. It very well could have been the Jesus of Nazareth that NBC did years ago in the 80s. It could be something else. But there was a gospel presentation at the end, and I remember, you know, thinking about that and praying along with the man on TV. I have no idea if I had any idea what I was talking about at the time. But it wasn't until I became a senior in high school and had a friend invite me to a local church in another town and heard the gospel with a lot greater clarity at that point and really began to understand that there was a necessity for salvation for me, that I was someone guilty of sin, needing the grace of Christ, and that Jesus, in fact, was my only hope. And it was at that time that I can say for certain that I had been changed by God and surrendered to Christ. Then the next few years of life, we involved a lot of growth, a lot of figuring things out. I was certainly nowhere near being a Reformed Baptist at the time. I was certainly nowhere near, honestly, even probably a good walk for a Christian, first year of college, a few years of college and that sort of stuff. Lots of ups and downs and struggles along the way. But as time went on, the Lord has continued to work in my life and grow and built a really, I think, a fascinating story for us, if nothing else. And again, there are elements we'll get into as to why this is, to some people, will be an interesting story.
Well, tell us about when you believe the Lord had clearly placed a call upon your life to enter into pastoral ministry.
Great. So it's interesting. When I was at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, Illinois, I was studying computer information processing with a bachelor's degree in advanced technical studies and a minor in speech communication. I always joke that the longer my degree sounds, it makes me sound smarter, even though it really wasn't that complicated a thing. But it was probably at the end of my second year of college that there was a class we took in which a teacher just asked us if this is what we wanted to do with the rest of our lives. And I had been involved in campus ministry. I'd been involved in local church stuff. And it was just as clear as could be for me that I would be far better used by the Lord in helping people to know the Lord, to understand his word, to worship him. And at that point, I don't know that I knew that it was pastoral ministry. I just knew that I wanted to be serving the Lord with life and not simply having a career, although again, love folks that are loving the Lord in a different vocation. But for me, it just became very clear that this was where the Lord was going to be taking me in life. And that was the best use of the way God had shaped me. So I pretty much always believed that I was going to do whatever the last ministry was I'd gotten out of, if that makes sense. So in college, I thought I would be a youth pastor. When I graduated college, I thought I would be involved with college student ministries. And it was only later that the Lord probably began to shape me into understanding that preaching and teaching the word was really where my heart was. I finished my bachelor's degree and then took a year away, kind of worked with my old little home church, and then left and went to Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. So the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, as we always like to call it, especially emphasizing the, so that the people with the other schools would feel a little lesser. And it was a great time because when I got to Southern, that's when I realized I didn't know half as much as I thought I knew. In fact, I didn't even know what questions to be asking. And so for the next few years of seminary, it was a major growth and learning journey for me to get out of, you know, just the small world I had grown up in. I loved the people I was with, and boy, those people loved the Lord, and they were trying so hard to help us. So I have no negatives there. But for me, it was so great to be challenged and to study with some depth and grow into life and ministry. So the call came, you know, the way we would sense it, I suppose, would be early college and then developing over time and clarifying over time as I had the opportunities to serve.
Now, as far as the doctrines of sovereign grace, also known as Reformed theology, also nicknamed Calvinism, when in your journey did you come to discover and embrace these precious truths? I know that you've already said that you attended the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is known for, at least in the predominant number of its faculty, an emphasis on the doctrines of sovereign grace. And I don't know whether or not you had discovered these truths before you enrolled there, and perhaps that was a reason you enrolled there, or if you discovered them afterwards. When did this come about?
Really, an embrace of a sort of Calvinistic understanding of soteriology, salvation, came for me late college more than anything. And, you know, I think for a lot of guys my age, I'm 51 right now, a lot of guys my age, the embracing of these doctrines came when somebody somewhere had the video set of R.C. Sproul telling us about what it means to be chosen by God with that nice raspy voice he had. And, you know, again, I would say my story probably sounds like so many people that grew up in the kind of environment I was in, where all of a sudden here was a man who knew the word, clearly wanted to teach the word, be faithful to it, brought challenges and just biblical clarity to the understanding that I could contribute nothing to my salvation. And even in my little home church circle that would definitely not have embraced these doctrines, there was never going to be anything that would have been taught by the people that would say, oh, no, give yourself credit. You did it yourself. So the humility of we are saved by grace alone was there for us, I think. And then as the doctrines began to be clarified, that was when it started to be something I loved and embraced. Going to Southern really had a lot more to do with the fact that it was the closest school to home, as it had to do with anything. And by the grace of God, it turns out that I landed somewhere where the Lord was doing great work with Dr. Moeller there. Really, he was still in the process of transforming Southern Seminary when I got there in 1998. Moeller had been there for 5-ish years at that point. And there were still some faculty and staff members kind of hidden off in corners who were there before Dr. Moeller was ever there, who would not have embraced the conservative doctrines that he espoused besides being opposed to Calvinism. So when I was there, Calvinism was acceptable. People weren't mad at you for being a Calvinist, which was great. And there were certainly more there, but the school has gone through some beautiful, beautiful growth and transitions over the past couple of decades. So for me, Southern was close to home. It was a great place to be. It was a great place to study. I had no idea what I was getting into, but it was a great journey.
Well, praise God that he brought you along that journey by his sovereign providence, and that he has led you to a very important area of the world, and more particular, the United States, to serve as an under-shepherd for one of his flocks. And if you could, tell us more about the physical impairment that you have, and perhaps you don't view it as an impairment, I don't know, but the fact that you are physically blind, tell us if you were born that way or if that came about some other point in your life growing up, and how it's been for you facing and overcoming the challenges that something like that has coming with it.
Okay, that's a great question. So in my family, again, I told you I'm the youngest of three. My middle brother and me is the youngest. Both of us have the same visual impairment. I don't mind that word. Again, I've never gotten hung up on terminology with this anyway. But was legally blind from birth. So I'll tell you how this works. And if anybody is a sciencey person, they'll love this. And if anybody's not, they can take a short nap and we'll wake them up in a minute. But the particular disorder I have is called Leber's congenital amaurosis and is an incredibly rare disorder, clearly genetic. But what it pretty much causes in a short version is that once a child is born, the body does not process properly vitamin A to feed the retina in your eyeball. So if you know your eyeball and how it works, and I'll go super simple on this, you know, as your the front of your eyeball lets in light, and the light that goes through your eyeball goes through the lens, and it bounces off this sheet of cells on the back of your eye. That's what the retina is. It's this big collection, this big wall of cells on the back of your eyes that will translate signals of light and color to your optic nerve to feed your brain. So for me, not long after I was born, it would probably have been just a few weeks after birth, maybe a few months after birth, scar tissue formed as some of those cells died and because they weren't being fed vitamin A properly by my body. So from young childhood through, let's go to early college, again, probably in that time frame, I would have had a vision that would have been marked out as 20/200 on the chart. That is enough to be legally blind. I don't know that anyone cared that much about the number other than the government certainly didn't want me driving a car, which would have been bad for everybody involved. As a child growing up in the country, especially in bright daylight and high contrast situations at that point, I could see to do things. No, I probably couldn't see to do them safely, but I could see to do things. I would ride my bicycle. I would, you know, my granddad, again, we grew up in the country, man. So we would shoot baskets up against the, you know, we had a basketball goal on the side of the barn, that sort of thing. And, you know, I've thrown and caught footballs and all the stuff that a guy should grow up doing, you hope they get to do. But as a child or as a young guy in school, I would have never been able to see well enough to play baseball, as an example. Couldn't keep enough track of the ball for that. Couldn't see it against the sky enough for that. But high contrast situations work. So as a child going to elementary school, little kids' books tend to be bigger print anyway, bolder print. I could read along the books with everybody else. As we get a little older, the books, the print gets smaller. I would use a fluorescent desk lamp to be able to light up the book and see it a little better and find little accessibility tools that would help me. And I went to normal public school just like everybody else, and we just found ways to make it work. One of the blessings in my childhood, as far as this goes, is again, my parents, I mean, again, we're just, again, very country folks, very small town out in the country, let's go fishing and hunting folks. There wasn't any room for us to be, oh, well, let me baby you. There wasn't any room for mom and dad to be like, hey, we're just going to do everything for you. They knew growing up for me and for my brother that we had to learn how to function. And it was our job to figure out how to function in certain ways. And so that came through when we went to school. That came through when we tried to do things for fun. And so by the grace of God, I had parents that just made us figure it out and didn't let me sit and think of my life as, oh, you've been given some super hardship. So when I got through high school, got into college, again, this was just never a question for me. You just find ways to function. Now, there is a transition that occurs with this disorder when your body stops growing and more scar tissue forms. So I actually lost a good chunk of vision from being legally blind, but kind of functioning in bright light and reading, you know, text on computer screens to the point that I now don't use my eyes for anything. My eyes are just not at all usable for me for, I guess, anything other than decoration. Used to, I could use them a little bit to kind of check and see if the light was on in the room, but now I use an iPhone app to check and see if lights are on in the room because I just don't have any usable vision in my eyes now. But that really, that process occurred probably around 20 years old as I was, well, 18, 19, somewhere, I would say 20. As I was in college, moving forward in life, and then all of a sudden I began to notice things were changing. And so again, we had to adapt and learn new ways to function. And so now, as someone who is physically totally blind, I have to do the work that God has given me to do in some different ways. And you have to find creative tools and creative ideas to function and do what needs to be done. So there's the first part. You want to ask any questions on that before I go further forward?
Well, just out of curiosity, what was it like growing up with blindness or legal blindness? When mm-hmm. I was a kid, when I look back upon my childhood years, I wonder now as a Christian how Pelagius could have ever come up with the idea that children are born free from sin, because children can be some of the cruelest human beings on the face of the earth. And if they have the physical capability of living out some of their depravity, this planet would probably not exist anymore. And kids will find anything to make fun of another child. They will pick on their name if it sounds unusual. They will obviously taunt one another if they are not as proficient in sports and things as they are, or anything that you could possibly imagine. A kid will look for that flaw, that area of embarrassment, or whatever the case may be. It could even be something about the child's parents or siblings that they can't wait to publicly humiliate the child for. But how were your kids in the neighborhood that, in which you grew up, how were they treating you regarding your blindness?
Good question. And I think there, this probably could have been very different depending on the location that I had grown up in and the culture that I was in. My small town had its own kindergarten through 12th grade school. And it was small enough that my senior class, and we were a small class for the school, but we graduated 17. I think my brother's class, which was a rather larger one, graduated like 30 or 35 or something of that nature. So we're talking about very small units. And I think that actually helped in my situation, because the smallness of the town, the sort of southern country atmosphere to where I grew up, there wasn't nearly as much hardship that I would have faced as I might have faced in a larger public school, larger city type situation. I think it was a little easier. Now, truth be told, and this goes back to depravity, in my own depravity, one of the things I learned early on was how to be very quick witted, very clever, and pretty sharp. So I was able to embarrass people as quickly as they would ever embarrass me. Which, by the way, is still something I fight with now not to do so much of by the grace of God. But so in our setting, it was just, it really wasn't as much of a hardship. Now, I'm sure there were obstacles I had to face or things I had to overcome that weren't fair. I'm sure that's true. But even as a kid, I don't know that I thought much about it. You just sort of live how you live. You know, we didn't know we were poor growing up either. You know, I can look back and go, "Wow, we really didn't have much," or we didn't know. We had the thickest Southern accents growing up. My family, my hometown, just it is the most Southern of Southern sounding places. And I had no idea that I had an accent until much later in life. And all of a sudden there's like, oh, my voice, I had a very different sort of diction than I have now. And so you grow up and you do what you do. And you function where you are. So I don't know that I ever felt, picked on or singled out in any way that everybody else didn't have something that was like mine. So it was okay. I never struggled with those things to any great degree.
And of course, you have eventually met the woman that you fell in love with, which I'm assuming was mutual. And was your physical impairment somewhat of a challenge for her to embrace?
That's a good question. It might have helped, honestly, when I look back at it. And, you know, we have to take every advantage we get, because I think most of us who, and almost any believer I know who is married understands that, as we would say, you know, you may often outkick your coverage. My wife is just sweet as can be and a lovely, lovely lady. We met in college when we were part of doing the student ministry. She's about 3 years younger than me. So by the time she got to school, I was part of our Christian ministry on campus, one of those parachurch on campus organizations. And when I got there, I was actually like playing guitar for music for the group and that sort of stuff. That's another thing that the Lord's allowed me to do at this point in life, which is pretty cool. But we met then, and we often would do things where groups from our college group would go to local churches, and we'd go to local churches and spend a weekend doing like a Friday, Saturday thing with the youth and helping out however we could at the church on Sunday morning, or maybe one of our students would preach in the church. I would play music, churches, that sort of stuff over a weekend and come back. And so when my wife Mitzi and I met, we were part of the same group already, but we really got to know one another during times of leaving campus with a group of other students and going and doing these ministry things. And one of the great things for me was places where I would need a hand, I would need extra help to do this ministry or this part of what I was doing, she loved to help in because she had always wanted to be a part of ministry. She as one of those odd young ladies who wanted to marry a pastor. And so for me, we got to know one another well, and we found that we really we connected over doing ministry things together. And so probably my disability was actually a helpful thing to her to this, because, you know, if I'm like, hey, I need someone to come over and do this, you know, and it might be something as simple as I'm going to set up the music that I'm about to do. And how about you help do, remember the old days of the overhead projectors?
Oh, yeah.
Transparency. Uh-huh. This is back, you know, when you would sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and you assume that psalms are in the Bible and hymns are in the hymnal and spiritual songs were up on the wall. she would be there, you know, moving the slides around for me and just helping with things like that, especially even maybe making new ones that like make sure this looks right, you know, and she loved doing that stuff. So we clicked well together with a quick common acceptance that this is life in ministry is what we're going to do. And that doesn't mean there weren't the normal ups and downs that any young couple has dating or getting to know each other, or, you know, for me, learning that there were parts of me that were obnoxious I needed to work on, that kind of thing, that all happens. But no, it really was never a major downfall for her. But I can say with real honesty, throughout the years of life in ministry, there have been moments where it is harder. You know, the fact that she's always the driver, that's tough. You know, there comes a time when you're like, you know, it would be nice not to have to do this. Or there come times when, you know, work has to be done and, you know, maybe there's something else that she also needs to be doing. And we're like, hey, we're going to need help here. Well, how do we do it? And there have been seasons of life, I think, for her, just like any pastor and pastor's wife will have, where she realized this is hard and I need to be sure that I'm connecting well with ladies in the church to have the kind of support and friendships and prayers that I need. And so you go through that over time and you develop a way just to rest in the Lord and to let the local church body come in and support you as you do the things God's called you to do. So I think she's had certainly seasons where it's probably harder to be married to me than to be married to some other guys, but the Lord has blessed as well.
Praise God. And how long have you been married now?
We've been married for 25 years.
Oh, praise God. Any children?
Yeah, we have three children. I have a daughter who is 22 and married and out of the house, praise the Lord. I've got a son who is 18, and he, after high school, has actually already started being an EMT.
Wow.
Here in Las Vegas. He's kind of got a goal of getting to advanced EMT and then eventually, Lord willing, get involved with the fire department. He thought that would be a really interesting career path. So that's where he seems to be headed right now. And I got a 14-year-old who is still in the house here doing the school stuff. And he and I have a lot of fun. Also in my household is my mom. She came to live with us in 2020 after she retired. My father passed away, 12 years ago now. And whenever mom got done working in our little hometown, she came out and lived with us. So she's been with us. We've been enjoying her presence and caring for her as well.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. And if anybody listening would like to join the conversation with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S, ARNZEN at gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question has something to do with a personal and private matter. Since we do have a pastor on today, there may be those of you out there who need pastoral advice about something that is intimately personal and private, and we will honor your request to remain anonymous. But other than that, if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We are going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors who keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air through their financial support. So please make note of our advertisers and their contact information.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. Lindbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And with Christmas coming up, before you know it, please consider royaldiadem.com for all of your Christmas shopping needs, especially for those who have special places in your life, like your fiancé or your spouse. Royaldiadem.com has something incredible that they do for us. Not only do they provide for us automatically every single month financial support, but on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener saying that they heard about RoyalDiadem.com from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. That's all you've got to do, and we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So if you are purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, if you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, either way, please go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We would appreciate it more than you know. We're now back with Pastor Travis Peterson, the pastor of Providence Reformed Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, obviously, and I don't think I've ever interviewed a pastor in Las Vegas before. I may be wrong. I'd have to check my archives for that. But there have been reasons why Las Vegas has earned the nickname Sin City. Obviously, the very city came up from the barrenness of the deserts, rose up largely due to organized crime, erecting the casinos out there. And you have a state which is the only state in the union that has legalized prostitution. And there are many things like that that make Las Vegas stand out. But having been born and raised in New York, where I'm originally from, I know that people from not only other parts of the United States, but other parts of the world that I've met over the years, especially when I still was living in New York, they would equate anywhere in New York with the worst crime-ridden area of New York City, and they would make assumptions about where I was born and raised, which was a relatively safe and peaceful area, not completely, but relatively and comparatively peaceful area. And they, you know, were expecting that I would tell tales of waking up in the every morning to the sounds of gunfire, and, you know, having to be careful about being kidnapped every area of sidewalk that I walked upon. And, you know, they had these visions of vans pulling up and throwing people and kidnapping them in the vans. But obviously a lot of exaggeration, if not downright falsehoods. So what can you tell us about Las Vegas, especially things that people listening who were not from there nor have ever been there might not know about it?
That's a great question. So, by the way, people, I love when I tell people, like if I'm at a conference or something of that nature, someone will look at my name tag with the city, you know, where I'm from or whatever on it, and they'll go, Las Vegas. And they always follow it with, ooh. And my snarky response is almost often, you know, you should really see the creative ways we've come up with to take up the offering and just leave them there with that for a second, you know. And They're picturing, you know, people wearing feathers, passing the plates, or a machine that you can pull the handle. Really, so a couple things about Vegas. And Vegas is a fascinating city. I will say about Vegas, you can find anything you could want here. And that is both for good and for ill. There are, there's all sorts of depravity. And a little maybe more exposed here than some other places. Although anymore, the, you know, Vegas used to stand out for the casinos, for the casino industry. And now if you look around, I'm guessing that you're not far from a casino. And, you know, whether it's, you know, when I was young, they started putting them on the rivers because I grew up right between the Ohio and Mississippi rivers, and people would go to the riverboat to gamble. And then, of course, different Native American reservations have casinos, and they're just everywhere now. States are legalizing gambling everywhere.
Yeah, they have them within a half-hour drive from where I'm sitting here in Pennsylvania.
Easily. Easily. And so it's not a surprise. Interestingly, prostitution is not legal in Vegas. The municipality does not allow it, but there are other places in the state that do. And so what you'll see if you're not careful is getting off an airplane at Vegas, you might be handed a brochure for the opportunity to be driven out of town to go visit an establishment. Although, truth be told, it is very, very easy to see the trade being practiced on the streets in the casino area. But the thing I'd say about Vegas as far as that goes is we're like that part of any city. I can't think of any large city I've ever lived in or near where you didn't find the same sorts of sin. I grew up in small town Illinois. Like I said, my hometown was 900 people. I went to Louisville, Kentucky. After graduating seminary, I pastored for almost 4 years in a city called Daejeon, South Korea. There's a fun story for another time. And I've been in suburban St. Louis and, you know, in near St. Louis, Missouri. Every city I've ever been in has forms of the same sin that you find in Vegas. It's all there. And so it just depends on where you can find it. Technically, one other fun thing is the Strip is not by definition Las Vegas. It's a township of Paradise, Nevada. Paradise is sort of, this sort of got hollowed out of the center of Vegas. My understanding is that all had to do with taxation. But, you know, we live, my actual address is a Las Vegas address. Our church's address is a Las Vegas address. And from my house, you can see the Strip. If you're looking out a second floor window, you can look out and you can see the top of the Stratosphere. But it would take us about 30 minutes to drive to the Strip from here. So it's, you know, you can see it, but it's still a pretty good ways away. Vegas is like, it's like a big cereal bowl. It's a valley, but it's like a big bowl and the Strip is at the bottom. My house is about 1,000 feet higher in elevation than the Strip itself, just because of how the terrain around here works. So if you get to where I live, this is as suburbanite as you get. You know, you can drive around the corner and there's the gas station with the Subway sandwich shop, and there's a pizza place, and there's right around the corner there's a Taco Bell, and there's a Chipotle, and there's a local, you know, microbrewery or something like that. It's just normal living where I am. Most of my neighborhood is, people come and go a lot because there are two significant military bases near us, Nellis Air Force Base being one of them that most people will have heard of. And so we have a lot of Air Force folks who come and who come here for their season of being deployed here for whatever reason. And so you have a lot of military families here. There are a lot of people who all of their working and all of their lives almost never involved the Strip. And for me, the most likely reason you would see me at the Strip would be if somebody was visiting me and had never seen it and wanted to understand it. So then we might take them to a safe spot where they can see some pretty things without seeing some ugly things. And maybe, just maybe, we would go down there if there was some sort of event we wanted to attend, you know, a concert or a show of some sort. But that is very rare, because the one thing Vegas is for sure is pricey.
Now, we do have listener in Knoxville, Iowa, and the listener's name is Cal. Cal wants to know, do you have any personal convictions about Christians working for such establishments like a casino, since that is a major source of industry and income in Nevada?
That's a great question. And Cal, I appreciate it because you're thinking, well, for how does a Christian live and work in a fallen world and in a fallen city? And I would say the way that we've tried to handle this is to not say a person cannot work in any way connected to in any business that might have a connection to a casino, as an example. Because, I mean, honestly, restaurants that we go to and gas stations that we go to all have gambling in them. That's just, you're not getting away from gambling in Vegas almost ever. So you can't necessarily say someone cannot work in anything that touches the industry. We have a member of our church who serves doing security, hotel security. But obviously doing hotel security in Vegas means you're working for a casino resort because that's how it works. And so he oversees keeping people physically safe in that environment. And so in that situation, we would not try to tell somebody, no, you can't work there. But what we would do is we would ask people to examine what are they personally promoting and what are they personally helping to make happen in their employ. And I would say there's a pretty significant difference between checking someone in at the front desk or making sure no one breaks into their room versus, you know, if I found out, you know, one of our folks was, you know, putting on a skimpy dress to try to, you know, get people to drink more so they'll gamble more, we might have to have a conversation about, hey, maybe you need to find a different spot to work in so that you're not trying to entice people to do things that are ungodly.
So basically, if it's legal and you can be employed legally somewhere where you're not personally involved in committing sin or anything displeasing to God, that would be something that you would believe is a liberty.
I think that's probably the fairest way to say it. And I think still every situation needs to be examined. It really does. And every believer is going to have to wrestle with their own consciences before the Lord as well as saying, man, I feel like I'm promoting this or I feel like I'm not. You know, we've had folks in our church who, there was a lady who was part of our church for years who she actually had been a dealer at a table for years before and came to faith while she was still in that industry, dealing cards at the tables. Or later she had been moved away from the tables, but was doing what they would call being a floor boss here, looking around, watching people, making sure everything is happening well and that no one's doing something they shouldn't be doing. And I think for her, probably over time and over conviction, she would have removed herself from that industry had it not also been time to retire. At the same time, I mean, we've had a deacon in our church who his career before he retired was, you know, delivering beer to restaurants all over city, just driving a truck, rolling off the kegs. And, you know, he had to have his own thought process as to, okay, am I doing something good or ill? You know, obviously what he's doing could be, what he was delivering could be abused. But, you know, there come points where we have to let folks just, let's make sure that what you're doing is not attempting to entice people to sin, that you're not attempting to commit sin in the workplace. And then, again, ask people to be wise about what choices they're making. And if there's a better option, let's see if we can find it.
Yeah, you for some reason reminded me of a story years ago I heard from a Christian who was a wealthy man, and he had an extensive, pricey collection of wine. He had a wine cellar and some very valuable wine. He became a Christian, and unlike many Reformed believers who believe that's a liberty as long as one does not fall into the sin of drunkenness, he became convicted to stop drinking, and he had told his pastor that he was going to begin dumping the wine down the drain, and he said, no, give it to me. But we have to go to our midway break right now, and if you would like to join us, as Cal did, with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, So don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Welcome back. Before I return to my fascinating conversation with Pastor Travis Peterson of Providence Reformed Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, I have some important reminders for you. Folks, we are in urgent need of your financial help. As many of you know who listen to this program regularly, we've lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which had to permanently close their doors just a matter of weeks ago. And we therefore lost a very valuable source of income for this program. So if you really love this show and you want it to continue to exist, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. Or if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check from your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you're having that you want to promote, whatever the case may be, as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible. So please, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as much as I urgently need your financial support for Iron Trip and Zion Radio, I do want to make a couple of things clear. I never want any of you to give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give to your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, please never cut into the finances that you specifically have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Never do that. And also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a gift. But having said that, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you do have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you want a long future to be waiting for us here at Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Providence Reformed Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, well, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpened Zion Radio audience find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. In fact, the reason why I'm interviewing Pastor Travis Peterson today is that a listener in Nevada was looking for a church. And when I found Providence Reformed Church in Las Vegas, I made the acquaintance with Pastor Travis, and voila, he is a guest today on the program. But please, no matter where you live in the world, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Travis Peterson of Providence Reformed Church of Las Vegas, Nevada. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And we have Jeremiah in Spanish Fork, Utah, who has a question for you, Pastor Travis. He wants to know if there are any unique challenges being not only a Christian, but the pastor of a church in Las Vegas.
Again, that's a great question. And I would say yes and no, right? First of all, there's not been much persecution or struggle here in the city. There are plenty of people who would wear the label Christian in Las Vegas without that being something that is isolated or ridiculed. Now, I will say to you that not every person who wears that label would be somebody we would agree with. There is a significant LDS influence in this city. We're so close to Utah that we have a lot of Mormons, a lot of LDS folks here in town, so that they would claim the name as well. But really, there hasn't been a lot of deep struggle anymore living here than I've had anywhere else. Maybe small things, right? If you go down by the Strip, if you are in the area of the action where people are trying to advertise, you will perhaps be handed an advert, or someone will attempt to hand you an advertisement for a strip club, or some vehicle may drive by with an electronic billboard advertising something you don't want your kids to see. Or, you know, there was a time we were going to, I really think we were going to dinner for my birthday is what I think I remember. And there was a time that we were just about to hop into an elevator. And when the elevator doors opened up, there were a couple of showgirls in there. My wife suggested we wait for the next one. So it happens, I suppose. She didn't think that was a good spot for my son to be. But, you know, actually, that, by the way, you talk about benefits of my wife or the struggles of having a blind husband. She's not worried about what people are dressed like when they walk by me as a lot for their husbands. So there are pros and cons. There really are. But, you know, living and working in Vegas, the hardest thing about Vegas is it's transient. That's the biggest struggle in this city for a church, is people come here for 3-4 years and move away. That's hard. You invest, you build into somebody, you try to help them grow in their doctrine and their understanding of the Lord. And then like, man, it's been great to be here. We don't want to live in the desert anymore. And they move on. And that's a painful process for anybody. And I think maybe for some of our longer time church members, we have to remind them, don't fail to invest in somebody because you're afraid they're going to leave you. And that may be a unique Vegas challenge. But outside of that, I mean, everything else we face is what people in every city faced. Rent is too much money. The world is the world. So there are dangers and temptations around us. But this is not, I do not find Vegas to be a hard place to live. I have really enjoyed our 10 years here.
Okay, we've got Noble in Sterling, Connecticut. And Noble says, what are the primary religious rivals to the true gospel of Jesus Christ in Las Vegas?
I just gave you the biggest one with the LDS group here. That's mm-hmm. big. I would say to you, there are a couple of gospel-less, doctrine-less megachurches in town that are putting on some pretty flashy shows, and that can be a difficult thing to deal with in this city. I don't, obviously, just general odd new agey religions or odd, you know, I'm just going to get in touch with my vibes and my chakra or whatever else this people will do. That's pretty common in Vegas. Vegas is beautiful. And a lot of people don't realize this, that in the desert, if you get away from the, if you get away from the strip and get out here, there are mountains and there are canyons. Red Rock Canyon Park is this gorgeous place to go and hike. My wife and I love to get out there and get into the canyons and walk around. By the way, if I ever disappear from a hiking trip, that means my wife was angry with me for any reason. That is also important to me. But the truth is, it's a beautiful place with amazing nature. So people that are sort of into nature worship, they like it here. They find it to be kind of cool too. So that stuff, those are the religious challenges. But, you know, for the most part, everything I run into, it's the same stuff that you run into. I have run into some different doctrinal peculiarities here that I'd never ran into in the Midwest. I've run into actual full preterists. I don't know that I ever ran into any full preterists back home. Partial preterists is a very different ballgame. I've run into a couple of, again, a Calvary Chapel Church influence can be pretty strong here, which can raise questions about, get you into interesting conversations about what church membership means or doesn't mean.
Again, and they also, people there, they have a tendency to be vehemently anti-Calvinist, not that they all are, but they do have that tendency.
Yeah, some certainly do. Some are much gentler than others. Again, they're model of church and their Calvinistic love or lack thereof can be different from church to church there. But those folks are around here. Again, a lot of folks that are part of those churches, again, they still love Jesus. And so I don't want to be harsh with them, but those would be different than we are. And even Providence, you know, when I came here, we were called Providence Reformed Church. And I would say when I arrived, the church's understanding of Reformed primarily was Calvinist. We're Calvinistic. We know Calvinists are Reformed. And it's been over the past several years that the Lord has helped me to grow enough and to be able to lead the church in ways to help them really get the grasp of, you know, Reformed means more than just Calvinistic. And so we've talked, in fact, for the last few years, we've been teaching, I shouldn't say a few years, but for the last several months, we've been teaching our church and our Sunday school what it means to be a Reformed Baptist. And so we've talked about historically Christian and what it means to be a church that would embrace the initial confessions or the initial statements of faith that would come out like Apostles' Creed and Athanasian Creed and Nicene Creed and Chalcedonian Definition, or then what it means to be Protestant and how we embrace the five solas of the Reformation and how those recovered doctrines that were lost during the medieval era under the Catholic Church, or then what it means to be Reformed and talking about a little bit of what it means to lean toward the regulative principle more so than a normative principle of worship, or getting a law-gospel distinction, or being Calvinistic, or connecting yourself to a confession of faith. Our leaders all embrace the Second London Confession here, or, you know, having a view of ordinances that doesn't apply some sort of salvific element to them. And then eventually we'll talk about what it means to be Baptist, and we'll talk about, okay, what, you know, congregational church government with elder-led congregationalism and what the church is as the body of believers, and the baptism would be for believers. You know, these things are coming out in our life as we grow. So we're becoming, we're still growing into who we are, trying to figure it out and be clear about it. So, you know, around the city, there's all sorts of religions. There's all sorts of churches. I can think of a handful of churches I would send somebody to. I can think of a handful I would say, be really careful around those folks. And you know, the Lord is good. We love what we get to do here.
And by the way, I don't want to disparage my brothers and sisters and friends in the Calvary Chapel movement.
Amen.
After making that remark I made, because I happen to know that for some reason there are some theologically reformed folks that the Calvary Chapels love, like Jason Lyle, for instance, the world-renowned Christian astrophysicist who happens to be Reformed, in addition to being a young earth creationist and a very highly sought after conference speaker. In fact, he was one of my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon speakers not long ago. And I do know that they have a great fondness for him, and they have a great fondness for Alistair Begg and some other reform folks. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Good disclaimer. Good disclaimer.
And we have Reed in Little Ferry, New Jersey. And Reed wants to know, are there any substantial outreach ministries to the Native American population in Nevada that you are aware of, especially if they are theologically reformed?
I'm not. That's an interesting question. That's not a community that I find myself running into in our particular setting. So I'm not aware of anyone doing Native American outreach here in Nevada. So that's a good question, though. Now you're going to make me think about it.
Now, they are a considerable percentage of the population, are they not?
In Vegas, no. Around the rest of the state, maybe. But you know, you talked about living in New York, and there's the concept of New York City and the rest of the state. Vegas right. is its own thing. It really, really is. And then to get two people who are, you know, there aren't even really that many towns close to Vegas. Once you leave Vegas, you're on the road a while before you're connecting with others. I'm sure that there are plenty of Native Americans in the state, for sure. And again, we're so close to Arizona. We're not far from a jaunt over to New Mexico. And you're going to find lots of folks that have different Native American backgrounds. So it's around, for sure. Interestingly, you want to know, like, people groups in Vegas, folks from the Philippines and folks from Hawaii are everywhere. You run into Hawaiians all the time in Vegas. In fact, there's a nickname of Vegas calling it the Ninth Island because we have such a big Hawaiian population in our city. So that's common and surprising to folks.
Okay. We have Gardenia in Nessaquag, New York, Missaquag, Long Island, very beautiful area. And Gardenia wants to know, going back with my question to your earlier comments regarding your physical blindness and that mm-hmm. it was somehow hereditary since you and your brother both had the same condition, has this condition been passed on to any of your children?
That's a sweet question. You know, you can just picture a sweet lady's heart there, can't you? Wanting to be like, is everybody okay? So probably a chromosome that could carry this would have been passed from me to my children. However, both chromosomes would have had to been present for them to actually have the disorder. So no, none of my children have any genetic issues related to their eyes at all. So it has been easy. There was a time when people said, oh, you guys could be tested or you could have your children tested to see if they're going to carry this gene. And both my wife and I just said, well, why? You know, it's not going to change anything that we do. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is good. You know, I've had many times in my life where people have asked me questions like, are you upset by this? Are you upset by what you deal with? Is it discouraging? And I will always answer them by saying, well, it's true there are things I'd love to be able to do that I can't do. That's no doubt true. But the fact of the matter is God shows his strength in our weaknesses. God is glorified when he does ministry through weak vessels. And so by the grace of God, I have a weakness that means God is magnified when good things happen in our ministry. And I wouldn't change it for anything other than that being the Lord's will for something greater. And it's not a burden. It's a tool that God uses. Our church, our deacons, our people, they know they've got to jump in and do ministry and not expect the pastor to drive everywhere and do it. Our church, they deal with the fact that my church is one of the best places in the world for a church member to grab a guest and say, let me take you up to meet the pastor, because they know I can't see the guests. And so they bring them to me. And it's great. I love it when they do it. Or I have someone, I'll hear someone in the back of the room go, stay here. And then they come running up to me and like, pastor, there's somebody here, you know, and I'll go back and say hello to people that way. And, you know, and sometimes I've even had weird situations where people would meet with me in counseling who wouldn't meet with somebody else. And they've said, you know, the one reason I'm able to tell you this is I know you're not going to be looking at me on Sunday morning and thinking these thoughts about me after I tell you what I've been or what I've done. And so the Lord uses this in such in a fascinating way. So Gardenia's question was great. No, none of our children are affected, but we were never worried about it because the Lord's been so good to us through this.
Now, you were just going through some benefits to being physically blind and your role as a pastor. I have heard over the years, as probably most people have, that when people have some kind of impairment or disability or handicap, however you want to describe it, other areas in their life or in their own bodies, perhaps even, are physically raised to a strength that may be superior to many people that don't have those impairments. Do you know of anything in your life that has been enhanced, perhaps even physically, because of your blindness that is of great benefit to you as a pastor?
You know, again, that's a great question. And this is both true and a myth. And so I hate to burst bubbles here, okay, but let me illustrate. And I think this will actually help you to really get what happens to blind guys. If you've ever been, and Chris, I'm sure you have been in a room before, maybe you were reading a book and maybe you were really into reading that book and someone spoke to you and you didn't hear what they said. I'm going to guess that's happened to you before, right?
Yep.
Okay. So the question is, was there something physically wrong with your ears that made you miss them? And the answer is no. The reason you didn't hear them is because your focus was all on your eyes.
Right.
The reason people think that blind people hear better is not because our ears physically function better, but it's because that's where our focus is. And so I do notice more things maybe with my ears than some other people do. But to risk an old comic book reference, I'm not Daredevil. I don't, you know, magically walk through the streets by clapping my hands and hearing the sound echoes and whatever else, you know. It's most of that's mythical. Again, some guys have some great, have developed some fascinating skills, but, and you know, it's weird. Obviously, blind people aren't all the same. So one of the things I do, and you might find this fascinating anyway, I will use my laptop and an earbud reading notes into my ear while I'm preaching. And what will happen is the laptop will be reading words into my ears, and I will be speaking what I just heard sometimes. It's sort of an odd form of like using an audible teleprompter to read maybe a passage of scripture. So if someone visits my church, they think I have everything memorized, and I don't usually tell them I don't because it makes me feel better about myself. But really, my computer is feeding me a lot of data. But I know other guys who are blind who just can't do it. They do, for whatever reason, that just blows their head up when they try to hear and speak at the same time. But by the grace of God, that's something he's allowed me to be able to do. So we're all different, and we all function very differently. But the Lord provides the tools.
Amen. And I'd like you, before we go to our final commercial break, I'd like you for about 10 minutes or so to mention things that you want people to be more aware of, not only regarding Las Vegas, Nevada itself, but also specifically about Providence Reformed Church and perhaps giving reasons why people might even consider moving out there to join that work, or any other ways that you might need help and assistance, or anything that you've got going on, any kind of special events.
Awesome. I appreciate that. So I'll say this, first of all, you heard me say at the beginning, I tell our folks, I want Providence Reformed Church to be the sweetest, most gracious Reformed Church anybody's ever seen. And I really believe for many people, that is their experience. You come to Providence and you get to know people and you build friendships and people are sweet and they're supportive. We take our doctrine very seriously, but we try really hard not to be nasty about it. And I think that actually makes us stand out from other churches I know that take their doctrine very seriously, but can't be sweet about it.
Yep.
And I love what the Lord is doing with Providence in that way. Vegas is a great place to live. There's no state income tax. That may draw some people right away. You can come here and get out of the state income tax system. The temperatures in the wintertime, in probably this December, this January, we'll have days that are highs are in the low 50s, so it's cool enough to want to wear a sweatshirt, but not to, not at the same time to be shoveling snow. If I want snow, we can drive up Mount Charleston, which is right here behind my house. So in about half an hour, we can get in the snow and take the kids sledding if we want to. But it does get what people call a little warm in the summertime. I mean, maybe 115, but it's a dry heat, kind of like an air fryer. If you've ever had one of those, it's a lot like that. But truth is, you really do get used to it. So if you like one of the description of Providence, I love some of your breaks. Your guys talking about their churches that are advertising with you. And there were so many of the churches I was like, that sounds like us. We are devoted to verse by verse exposition. If you come here, you're going to hear us work through books of the Bible. We're committed to a plurality of elders. We could always use more people that come, join, get to know us and jump in that role. We love having elders around here and giving men opportunity to minister. I try to share the pulpit. At least, again, I've got a gentleman preaching for me. He's not even an elder, but he's just a great guy and a growing believer and a well-studied believer in our church. He's going to be preaching for me here in two Sundays because I'm going to be at a conference. By the way, one of your advertisers, John Sampson, may be at the same conference as me. He's part of the same fellowship as our church is in the FIRE Fellowship, Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. And John's a good guy. He's a good guy. I appreciate it. It was fun to hear his voice here. But anyway, we love to give people opportunities to minister. We're not a program-driven church, so it's not like people have to come and, we're going to provide 75 different, programmed activities. There's a lot of a sort of organic growth that happens as people spend time with each other in homes and over the table and get to know each other and helping each other out. So it's a great place to be. Needs or interesting things, we have just moved into a new location, which is at 7485 West Azure Drive in Las Vegas. So if anybody wants to look that up, you can see kind of where we are in the city. It's up in the northwest corner of the city. And it is... we're just getting in. Last Sunday was our first Sunday in the new facility, and we're working out the kinks. We're learning how do we make sound right in this room. And I had the joy of being I was the music person last week besides being the preacher. So I got to play guitar and work with the new sound system and at the same time open the new hymnals that our people had never used before and turn, get them turned to the right pages for the hymns and the modern songs. And it was just so much fun. But we're paying bills on that. We are still figuring out how we're going to use the space. What other Bible studies are going to be happening? What other discipleship groups are going to meet in there during the weeks? And so that's all coming. Folks could pray for us that the Lord will help us to figure out what needs to be done next, and that He'll keep bringing those people in that we can use that new space to the best of our ability. And again, these are just all things, and we want to love the Lord more. We want to be more faithful to the Lord, and we want to grow as we love in our love for the Lord and in our faithfulness. But also, we want to grow by having more influence on people around us, so that we can share the gospel and spread faithful Bible teaching. We want to be faithful to the Word here. I think we really are, and we want people in Vegas to get it, because there's a lot of places that are super seeker driven, and I don't think they're bad people. I just think they may not be understanding what the Lord really wants out of a church, especially during the gathering for worship. We wouldn't be good at being seeker-driven in the way some churches are, because Vegas is about as flashy a city as you're going to get. No church is ever going to out-Vegas Vegas. So you might as well go ahead and be sweet and reformed. These are the things we're working on right now. It's just trying to build. We always, Every Reformed church, it's funny, when our churches get together and we talk about what to pray for, I've got a list. I'm like, look, you all are going to tell me you need more elders, you need more deacons, you need more money, most of you need a better building space or a meeting place. You need more families, you need more children. We got it. These are just church these days, especially if you're a doctrinally faithful church that's not compromising with gimmicks and not compromising with things that really don't have anything to do with Jesus, then you're going to need all of those things. And we need all those things to some degree, but the Lord's been so good to us. And so if someone wanted to come to Vegas, come here, hang out, there would be ministry for you. We would help you find a way to do it. This city, I think last year we had somewhere around 43 million tourists come through the city. So there's an opportunity to meet people all the time. There, again, Air Force Base and major other military base, you know, here that you can connect to and serve our service members if you want to do that. There's plenty to do here in Vegas.
Now, you mentioned before about one of your greatest challenges being a transient community. And you heard, I think, just one of the things that you mentioned from people that get tired of it after a number of years and, living out there, being they get tired of living in the desert. Now, other than the heat that you mentioned, the kind of obvious thing, what would be some other reasons that people tend to not stay in the Vegas area very long?
So shallow to meaningful, right? They miss the green. People miss trees. And we've got some palm trees here. We also, our city loves to try to cleverly disguise cell phone towers as palm trees. And it doesn't work, just so you know, but that's Vegas. That is so Vegas. So if someone, it's funny, when people grow up in Vegas, they go see trees and they get so excited. For me and my family, you know, my wife, we were in the green. We were in the rolling hills of the Mississippi River Valley, you know, all of our lives, right? So she comes out here, she is just floored with the beauty of the mountains and the rocks and the canyons. In fact, this is a very true story. There was a day we were driving up to the Northwest to look at the house that we currently live in. And Mitzi's driving the car and she goes, "Oh, man, look at the mountains." And I said from the passenger seat, "Oh, man, look at the road you're driving." again, hardships of the blind pastor's wife. So, you know, so people do miss that landscape. The heat's there. Some people just don't like living in the city. You know, I think a lot of people who want to move away from Vegas specifically, they want to move away because they don't like living in any urban or even suburban area. You know, there's traffic and people drive crazy. And since, you know, in Vegas, it's more rare to find somebody who grew up here than someone who didn't. Nobody knows where they're going because they didn't grow up driving around here. So they're a little, if you haven't been here for a long time, you know, you run into crazy drivers. Obviously, there are the sins that the Strip promotes that is hard for some people, especially there's a lot of substance abuse here. There's a lot of sexual immorality here. Like any large city, you will run into the, again, I've never run into anybody who was ever aggressive with us, but you will run into the clearly, obviously, aggressively proclaiming what they are, LGBT person who is making themselves obvious. And for some people who grew up in the small town Midwest, maybe they might think, "I don't want to be around that," or something of that nature. But fact of the matter is, these people need Jesus. These people need neighbors who love Jesus and will say, "Hey, why don't you come to church with me or have dinner over here," or whatever. So it can be hard for people in that regard. Again, the weather, I mean, some people don't like the desert heat. I have found that you do get used to it pretty quickly. And I will tell you that I could sit outside in my backyard, in the shade, in 100 degrees for a half an hour or more before I start thinking it's kind of hot out here, which just because there's no humidity. I mean, it'll be 7% humidity at 100 degrees, and I will take that over 85 degrees and 50% humidity any day of my life.
Hey, amen. Well, we've got to go to our final commercial break, and once again, if you'd like to join us, submit your question to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. I urge you to send it in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards to have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity, by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter
of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my very dear longtime friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind everyone listening about two wonderful events that we've got coming up in March of next year. My longtime friend, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, is going to be returning to South Central Pennsylvania in March of next year. And specifically, on Wednesday, March 4th, Conrad will be preaching at the church where I am a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That will be at 7 p.m. And for more details on that event, which is open to all, go to the website of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle at trbccarlisle.org. trbccarlisle, C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E.org. And then on the following day, on Thursday, March 5th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Dr. Conrad Mbewe will be my keynote speaker for the second time at my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free biannual pastor's luncheon, which will be held at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And these luncheons were designed by my precious late wife, Julie, in the 1990s when we both launched these luncheons when I was still living on Long Island, New York. And I have been continuing them in loving memory of her and in tribute and honor to her ever since she went home to the Lord in 2010. And I hope that you can attend the next luncheon if you're a man in ministry leadership. Unlike the first event that I mentioned, this is not open to all. It's only open to men in ministry leadership. So if you're a pastor, elder, deacon, a parachurch leader, you are welcome to register for this free event. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give me your name and the name and location of your church or ministry, and you will be registered. Also, please tell me how many men you expect to join you at this event, just so we have an idea of a headcount before the event itself. So that will be, once again, Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and also the founding chancellor of African Christian University, will be our keynote speaker. Everything is free. Not only is admission free and your lunch free and your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach free, but everyone in attendance, as always, will receive a heavy sack of free brand new books, specifically selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. So it's definitely well worth traveling to if you are at all capable of getting to South Central Pennsylvania in March of next year. And we hope to hear from you soon. Well, we are now back with Travis Peterson of Providence Reformed Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we do have a listener in Seaford, Long Island, New York. Craig in Seaford wants to know, do you have much problem with vehement anti-Calvinist churches and pastors in your area?
No, not really. Vegas is a big enough city that if a church doesn't like you, it doesn't really matter. They'll do their thing and you'll do your thing. But I've not run into any real negativity. I've run into people who certainly don't agree with us, or I've had people visit our church who said, this is not my thing, I'm going to go somewhere else. But for the most part, no, I've not run into that. I had far more struggles with that in the Midwest when I would try to gently point people to the doctrines of grace and have folks just, again, be very unhappy with that concept.
Okay. Well, I would like you to perhaps give some counsel, if you could.
Sure.
To pastors and churches that may be facing the same kind of issues of transiency that you have faced and continue to face as a church in Las Vegas, Nevada, that have helped you perhaps to at least some measure cope with and even at times overcome such difficulties.
Awesome. So one of the things that we do that is one of the bright spots in our church life right now is we put together these simple fellowship groups. And the way a fellowship group works is we'll put together a group of around 8 adults, and we'll ask them to make a simple commitment of having one meal together every month for the next 3 months. So in January, there'll be a group that meets. You'll be put together with 8 people, and you'll get into each other's homes January, February, and March just for a meal. And we've actually told them the rule is you can't do Bible study. You can't, no teaching, no preaching here. We want you to share a meal and get to know one another. And what happens is we do that for 3 months, and people all of a sudden start building friendships and relationships they didn't have. And it happens faster than it might if you just left them to it, because they're invited to go to dinner with somebody that they haven't gotten to know yet. Then at the end of those 3 months, we take a month off. We shuffle, if you will. And then the next month, you get a new group, and we do it again for 3 months. And a practice of intentionally getting people across tables from one another has made a tremendous positive impact on our people, especially for people who are just coming into the city from somewhere else or who may be only here for a short period of time. They still build some friendships. They still get to know people. That has been a really big deal. It also helps people all of a sudden to find the people that they want to grow with, people that they would want to read the Word of God with and talk about spiritual things with, or maybe be in a Bible study with. And so, of course, we offer Bible studies, but these fellowship groups have been a huge blessing for us in that. I did have one believer ask me at one point when I was giving them the rules for the fellowship groups, he said, well, I mean, are we supposed to sing? To which I asked him, do you typically sing after dinner at your house? And he told me no. So I told him no, that he did not, in fact, need to sing during his fellowship group. Huh. We'll come up with questions. We'll come up with ways for people to get to know each other. And it's amazing how something that simple has been a big builder of relationships. And that actually has borne fruit in Bible studies, discipleship, accountability groups, people who would not normally connect to the church jumping in and serving. And then as it grows, as they have life with the body, they really do grow in the faith.
Amen. And well, I'd like you to now leave our listeners with a summary of what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we go off the air.
Okay. God is wonderful, good, perfect, holy in everything he's ever done, everything he's ever said, every command he has ever given. And in the lives of his believers, we will all face joys, struggles, challenges, hardships. There will be, if you're a normal human being, there will be something about you you wish maybe God had made differently. Maybe you wish you looked better, were taller or shorter, bigger or smaller, smarter, or you know, quicker with books, whatever. There's going to be all of those things with you. You need to remember that our God has made no mistakes, and he uses all kinds of people with all kinds of struggles, with all kinds of hardships. And all of us, as these broken vessels, are tools in the master's hand that he uses to bring glory to his name. And so whatever you're struggling with, seek to honor the Lord, and you're going to find that there is a way that God will use even you to honor him. But do it faithfully. Do it from within the bounds of the Word of God, part of your local church, to his glory. You're going to find great joy.
Amen. Well, I want to remind our listeners of how they can get in contact with you. First of all, the website for Providence Reformed Church of Las Vegas, Nevada is providencereformedchurchlv.org. providencereformedchurchlv.org. And also, I'd like to know, Pastor Travis, do you have a presence on YouTube, Sermon Audio, or anywhere else where people can hear you preach?
Great question. We do. If you go to our website, you can actually find it's a SoundCloud page, but it will give you the link to it. Or if you search any podcatcher, if you just look for Providence Reformed Church Las Vegas, if you try Providence Reformed Church, apparently a lot of people have that name. But if you search for Providence Reformed Church Las Vegas, you will find us. The YouTube presence right now is primarily more short video clips that we're doing, although with our new facility and new abilities, I think we may be putting some sermons up there as well now coming in the future. But definitely audio in the Providence Reformed Church, sermons and more feed, you'll find it very easily. I think you could even ask an Amazon device whose name I will not mention right now to find Providence Reformed Church Las Vegas, and she may even pick it up for you.
Okay, well, it's been a joy having you on the program. I look forward to return visits from you. You can feel free to contact me anytime if you have a specific topic that you'd like to address, or if you're having a special event like a conference or something that you want to promote, let me know about it. I also do want to remind our listeners once again, as much as I hate to, but Iron Trip and Zion Radio is definitely in urgent need of your financial help, folks. Especially due to the aforementioned loss of two of our largest advertisers, including one of our most faithful supporters since we relaunched the program in Pennsylvania in 2015 after relocating from New York to Pennsylvania. Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service has been with us ever since then and had to recently close their doors permanently. And that was a hard pill to swallow financially for us. So please help us replenish that income, folks. And please also let us know about anyone you know that may be interested in advertising on the program, whether it's a church, parachurch ministry, business, private professional practice, or somebody just running a special event. Whatever that case may be, And we would love to hear from you at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also, last but not least, I want to mention that I've got a fascinating guest coming up on Friday, Christine Schwann, who is the executive assistant to the elders at Apologia Church in Mesa, Arizona. She spent many years as a yoga instructor and is now warning Christians to stay clear away from yoga. She's going to explain in detail why.
Amen.
And she's going to be explaining the pagan, occultic, and demonic roots of yoga. And I'm sure you will be blessed by that. It may be even something that accepts a lot of you who happen to love yoga. Well, you have to listen to that program more than anyone this Friday on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. And I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.